Howdy, howdy. How's it going this morning? Good. Are we awake? Are we in that in-between, you know, going back to work on Monday, Christmas, New Year's, all that going on? Yes, yes. All right, it's going to be one of those services. Fun. I'm excited. Well, my name is Pat, if you didn't know me. I'm the youth pastor here at Hill Country Bible Church, Georgetown, and I'm so excited to say that. Like, that's so cool. I've been a pastor for 3 years, so when I see on the screen here it says Pastor Pat, I'm still not used to it. Like, it still feels like, is that real? Is this here? Like, I did it? Like, I got to do what I wanted to do, so cool. And thanks for letting me be up here and talk to you guys today. If you don't know me, I've grown up in this church. I was a little kid here, middle school, high school. In college, I interned here to then start working part-time with the youth ministry to being able to take over about 2 years ago as a youth pastor. And so it's been an incredible experience, but so much fun. I love hanging out with the kids, love hanging out with the high schoolers, love hanging out with everybody. So it's a joy to be here. I got to hang out with Sun City this morning, which is awesome. They have a lot of wisdom to give me, just even back with feedback, so very good, very good. I'll try to take that for you guys this morning so it's not too bad or too long. That was the main complaint, guys. I like to talk. I like to have fun. I like to have energy, so I'm not a coffee drinker, just for y'all to know, just to know a little bit about me. This energy comes naturally, all right? But today, we get to talk about something fun before we start one of our new series. It was kind of a cool, hey, you get to talk about what you want. And that's always challenging because it's like there's so many options. So I always have to pick what God's talking to my life. So if it's not relevant to you, know it's relevant to me. And so God's speaking to somebody, at least here today. But we're going to be talking about waiting. And now that it's New Year's resolutions, I did this at Sun City. There was zero New Year's resolution today in Sun City. And there were people there. And so today, anyone, New Year's resolution, we got a couple. I guess that's not a big thing anymore, huh? Sun City wasn't here, not a big thing here. I'm not a big fan of New Year's resolutions. I don't know if it's just like a holiday, they set a time, and it's like, this is what you have to do. I don't enjoy just jumping in on that. Why is it just a new time of year makes you set new goals? Those goals should continue, right? Those goals should be set. But as I was looking at that, I was thinking that not a good enough excuse not to talk about it or to have something relevant to it. And so when I was thinking about New Year's resolutions, thinking about goals, thinking about bettering ourselves, the thing that God has been talking to me about, which is one of the toughest things for me to do as a person who likes to go and do, is waiting. Waiting, I think when you say it, already has that kind of like negative point to it. Because have we had to wait in lines before? Yeah, I think a couple of us have. Lines are no fun. Some people choose to wait in lines for drops of, you know, shoes or all kinds of different things. I'm guilty of doing that before. Have you guys ever had Franklin's barbecue? Yeah? And if you've had, I know you waited in line because that's essentially how you get that barbecue. And it's interesting because in that line, you might see different people in there. You might see people who've done it before and you can tell because they're experienced and they came ready. Because when you go there, it's hot, it's in Texas, it's in Austin, right? When I did it, it was in the summer, and so I wish I would have brought more water bottles, maybe an umbrella, maybe a more comfortable chair, because you're there for hours waiting for some very good barbecue, I will say. But it's cool because you'll see people who are not good waiters and people who are good waiters. And I'm not talking about serving food, I'm talking about waiting in line. People who have come prepared, people who have made it an experience. There were some people who had board games. They had tents. They had canopies. Like, they came set. And I love that because it made me jealous. I was like, I didn't come prepared. I just brought a chair. I'm about to get sunburned out here. And so I want us today to look at this as how can we be good waiters? Not telling you guys we're going to start a job in the fast food industry or in a restaurant. What I'm saying is how can we wait on God's timing? Because we get these desires and we want things to happen so fast, but a lot of the time, it doesn't happen when we want it. And I love what the word has to say about God's timing. So if we jump in today, in Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end." Here's a little bit different of a translation. It says, "He does everything just right and on time, but people can never completely understand what he is doing." He does everything just right and on time. I don't know about y'all, but it seems like he's always late for me. I want things before they happen, you know, but God's timing is perfect, so I guess I'm the one who wants it a little bit early. And I think that's probably the same for a lot of us here. So we're going to be talking about God's timing. And God's timing is a lot different than our perspective and our timing. It says in the Bible that one day is 1,000 years to him and 1,000 years is one day. Does that make sense? No, but that is his perspective on timing explained to someone like me. Okay, and so because of that, his timing looks a lot different. And I don't know what my waiting ability is. I'm 33, about to turn 34. And so that's as long as I've had to wait for anything, right? And I've not actually had to wait for something that long. There's not a desire that I've had since I was born that I was ready to get something, right? But we can see people in the Bible who have had to wait. We were just talking about people who had to wait because we were talking about Christmas recently, right? And I don't know if you guys know, but in Genesis, it proclaims Jesus coming. It took centuries for then Jesus to come. And so that is a long wait. We're not going to talk about anything that long. Today, we're going to be talking about a guy named Abraham. And Abraham had many sons and many sons. As you know the song, right? I'm not a good singer. I'm not going to sing up here for you guys. That's not happening. But we kind of know Abraham. And we know that he had to wait. And so what I want us to do today is we're going to look how we can be good waiters. We're going to look at the life of Abraham, but we're also going to filter it through a map. All right. So I took something from someone smarter than I am. His name is Rick Warren. A very popular pastor, has written a lot of great books. But Rick Warren talks about these 6 phases of faith. And I like it when we look at it with Abraham's life, but it even rang true in my life as well. And so we're going to use this as a map. And I don't know about y'all, but anywhere I go now, seems like I go to Bucky's, I go to Mexico. The first thing we do when we get into the car, GPS, where's the traffic, right? Where can I get around? I want to know what's happening. And so just an experience that I had recently when I went to the Mexico mission trip that our church has, when I went across the border, it took 5 minutes. When I went back across the border, it took 2 hours. Okay, and so what we did is there's 2 different bridges, and so you're kind of trying to guess which bridge is faster, right? Because who wants to wait? It seems unproductive. And so you're looking back and forth, you try to make the right decision, and then while you're waiting, you're double checking your guess the entire time, right? And so I want us to use this as a map so it feels better where we know where we're at, okay? So this isn't a standard, this isn't from the Bible, this is from Rick Warren, but I like what it talks about because I think we can relate to it. And so it starts off with phase 1. Phase 1 is dream. Dream. It's all going to be D's today. But phase 1 is dream because we are given dreams and desires. This is what starts the wanting, right? Whatever that could be. It could be family, like Abraham. It could be all kinds of different things. Jobs. It could be success. It could be getting over some kind of illness, right? Or some kind of physical thing. It can be all kinds of things, but you have the dream. What was Abraham's dream? We know it was to have a family. So if we dive into Genesis chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verses 1-3. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessing through you." Awesome. But what is the dream? What has Abraham been given that he now wants? Family. He is going to be a father, right? So you might have noticed here, his name wasn't Abraham. What was it? What does that mean? No, I didn't stump everybody, did I? Do we all know what Abraham means? Father of multitude, right? Also get translated as, you know, father of a nation, right? The Israel nation. And so what do you guys think Abram means? What? Fatherless. You would think, right? It would make sense that when God sees Abram at 75 with no kids, that would be fatherless. It's still father. It's still a father in high esteem, right? So that was his name before God made him a father of multitude. Whoa, just crazy that even when he was born, he was supposed to be this guy. And so when he meets God and he's giving him this new name, you would think, oh, I get a different name. I don't have to hold the shame of not having kids for 75 years. And then you've got a name that multiplies it. Whew. That's a hard waiting game. I feel like that just amplified everything. But when God did that, that's got to happen sometime soon then, right? Right? You've got God's promise here. So you would think that in God's timing, since he told him, this would happen in a timely manner. Let's fast forward 11 years. That's like a third of my life, all right? 11 years, let's fast forward, all right? Abraham, if we're fast forwarding 11 years, he was 75, now he's 86. Sarah, who is Abraham's wife, she was 10 years younger, so she's gonna be 76, all right? So that's where we're looking at 11 years. We got any kids involved yet? We do not, right? What has happened to make him more of a father? Nothing, right? Like it's crazy that nothing has happened after 11 years, but God still loves him. God still comes and says, hey, do you see these stars? You will have descendants as many of these stars, to give him that encouragement. And you know what Abraham decides to do? Makes a mistake and tries to do things on his own power. And we do that all the time. Decisions are tough. And that's going to be our second phase, is decisions. That when we have a dream, that dream isn't activated, right? That dream doesn't come into fruition until we make a decision. Abraham made that decision when God called him to leave the land, to go. That was him making the decision. And it's interesting, if we continue at 12, 1 through 3, we're going to continue on 4. So Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot, who was his nephew, went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Since we're talking about names and what they mean, anybody Haran? Anybody know what that could mean in Arabic or Hebrew? I didn't either until I did the research on this. Trying to have something for you guys. It means crossroads, because there was a lot of merchants that would come through that. So that was a crossroad of a place. Interesting that Abraham is in the crossroad of his life deciding to follow God. This person that he's never met, a new God that's not a God of his family. His family, his dad, they served other gods is what it says. Could have been this one as well, but it says other gods. And so interesting that we see Abraham here. So he had a dream and he made a decision. Our next phase is probably the phase that is the hardest phase when it comes to the waiting game, and that is delay. When you have a dream, when you've made that decision, I wish it would happen for you right away, that you would get that dream fulfilled. It normally doesn't happen that way. A lot of the times, God uses those delays and things for a lot of other things, because if everything happened at once, we'd be a little overwhelmed, I promise, right? God has a lot of dreams. When I'm talking about these phases, this isn't a one and done. I've gone through phase 1 through 6 and I'm finished. You're probably repeating these the rest of your life, because God is growing us the rest of our lives. And so because of that, it's a roadmap to kind of know where maybe you're at on this, right? Has God given you a dream? Is there a desire in your heart to do something? What decision have you made from that? Because guys, it's just a dream until that decision to move forward in that. And then you're gonna have delays. Know that. But what do you do in those delays? And that's kind of what we're talking about today. We're talking about waiting good. We're talking about being good waiters. And so when we're looking at those delays and what we should do, last week we talked about some leopards. And one came back with gratitude, and that's how we should live life, right? Jesus did an awesome thing for him. You thank him. Let's look at it this way. When you thank God for something after it happens, that's gratitude. When you thank God for something before it happens, that's faith. When we have that delay, it gives us an opportunity to be thankful before it happens. Isn't that awesome? What a different way to look at it. Instead of looking at it like, why am I here? What is going on? Why haven't you fixed this? Going to the Lord and just saying, whoa, this is my issue. Thank you for whatever you're doing about that. Thank you for being a part of this because you have a bigger perspective than I do on this. So thank you. So in those delays that we have, don't look at them as, whoa, I wish I could be here sooner. Whose timing's perfect? Is it ours? No, it's God's timing, right? So it doesn't matter if we think it should be there sooner, right? But use those delays to have gratitude towards God. And oh, your relationship changes, guys. I'm telling you, it does. Because when you go to God always in gratitude, no matter what is happening, it changes your perspective of him. And I think it changes your relationship. I think when we see God in big times of our life and we're stressed and we need him, we're blinded by a lot of things. But when we get to come to him, oh gosh, almost relaxed and just in a gratitude of thanksgiving, I think he gives us more exposure to what he wants for us. But sometimes I'm too confused with all the stuff going on in my own life, the drama, the sins, the self-consequences that keeps me from maybe hearing the Holy Spirit in my life, maybe telling me that, hey, it's okay, it's a delay. That's normal. Because the next thing that's going to happen, phase four, the difficulties. So we had dreams, we had decisions, we had delays, and now we have difficulties. God gives us difficulties sometimes in these situations. Why do you think he does that? Why do you think he gives a dream of something that maybe is bigger than ourselves, but yet he makes it tough to get there? And I'll tell you the reason is because you're not the person who's ready to take on that dream yet. God doesn't only work on situations, he works on you. And so when you have this dream to be a better person, to whatever it is, God's gonna work on you to do that. And so in Abraham's life, you see that they give him this dream, right? He's gonna be a father. Gonna be blessing. People are gonna be blessed through him. He is the blessing because Jesus is coming from this lineage. It is so cool to think of, like, we get to see that. But Abraham, does he make all the right choices? Right after this promise has been given to him, he pretty much tells his wife as they're going to Egypt because of a famine, he's like, hey, just in case you're pretty good looking, if someone is interested, you're my sister. That's weird, guys. That's weird, all right? Is that the guy who has this faith that everyone's gonna be blessed with? It's not the guy yet, right? He makes wrong choices. He almost sabotages God in a way, but you can't do that. God is gonna make his will happen no matter what. And so you get to see Abraham and Sarah move on from this journey to continue. You see 11 years later when they make yet another mistake. God has promised them a son. They are looking at each other going, hey, this is medically impossible, all right? What we could do, though, is we could have maybe Sarah's slave have the baby, all right? We could fix God's problem and answer his promise for him. You know, that's what they're thinking, and it has its own consequences. God still honors it. God still honors them, but it is not what God had for them, right? It is amazing to see that God doesn't go, all right, you had your own baby. That's the one you get, right? It's not what happens, right? God is faithful and God continues to bless through them, but also to bless through this miracle child that is to come. It doesn't come until Abraham is 100 years old, Sarah 90. Isn't that crazy? Baby's name is Isaac. All right, what do you guys think that stands for? You guys didn't know you're getting quizzed today. Anybody? Anybody? Laughter? Laughter? You'd have to laugh at that. 90, could you imagine being 90 years old? God's just like, oh, hey, you're pregnant. Ha, hilarious, right? That's a good one. Good joke at this point, right? And so laughter, I love that. I love that that's what his name means. And so we see that these difficulties, man, God has been, or Abraham has been given a son, right? God's promise can be fulfilled through that. And so when you're going through difficult times, just be reminded of God's promise to us. And God has a lot of promises in the Bible. So look at God's word. Abraham got to look at his promises. We get to look at the word where his promises are there. And we can be secure in the fact that God cares for us, that he loves us, and we can trust him to have our best interest. Because when we're in a time of waiting, what we have to do is ask God what we should be doing. If we're not used to doing that, it's going to be hard. If we're only coming to him in these high-stress situations, we might not be able to hear him. But when we get to come to him, even for those little things, it makes those other times easier. I know it's weird when we're talking about waiting, and I'm almost telling you, we got to train to wait. That waiting is not passive, but active. It's something that we actively need to do as we're going through these delays, these difficulties that then hit to a very dead end. But first, let's go through Abraham's dead end. In Genesis 22, 1 through 5. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took him with two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, "Stay there with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." What a tough scenario. Like this miracle child, God saying, "Hey, your dream, will you give it back? I'm the reason, will you give it back?" And I don't know if you catch the response that Abraham has, right? He's doing it. Doesn't seem like a lot of protest. I love how there's little things in the text that even says at the very end of what we just read, "We will worship and we will come back to you." He had a great opportunity for an Arnold quote, right? "I'll be back." But instead, he says, "We will be back," because he knows who he serves now. Is this the same guy who told his wife, "Hey, you're my sister"? Is this the same guy who made the mistake with the slave? No, it's a different guy, right? Like, this guy trusts God so much, and I love that. I think it's something that we can learn from him, that going through these difficulties, going through these delays, they're not bad. And when this happens, when God is asking for this dream, it's like us hitting a dead end. And that will happen to us as well. And that's our number five, dead end. Because there is going to be so many times in this dream that God has given us that is bigger than ourselves, that we are going to find a position, we are going to be in an area where we're not going to be able to do it. It's going to get too tough. The wait is going to be too long. It's just not working out. It's going to feel like everything is a dead end, right? And that is when God comes in the most, right? Because it shows us that it's not us. It's not on our ability. It's not through our power, but it's through the power of God that we are able to fulfill that dream. And we see that time and time again. It is so awesome. And so if we jump back in to Corinthians 1 through or chapter 1, 8 through 9. "We do not want to be uninformed, brothers and sisters." This is Paul. As we're talking about having a dead end, listen to Paul's dead end. "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we are experiencing in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure far beyond our abilities to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." It's so awesome to see even Paul going to say, "Hey, we were dealt death, but because of God, this succeeded. Because of God, we can continue." And I love that he's like, "Hey, I don't want you to be uninformed." It can be that tough. Doing what you like, these dreams that God has given us, they're to glorify him and they're bigger than us. If we put them on our own shoulders, guys, it's gonna break. But when we get to put them on God's shoulders and give it all up to him, we get to see the amazing thing he does through us. And so after the dead end, we've got the best one of the six, deliverance. God will deliver us from this hard times, this delay. It's amazing the different ways that you can see the deliverance. Sometimes it's the situation, right? He'll take you away from it. He'll change that. He is powerful and can do that. But sometimes he changes us. The situation stays the same, but when we become different, we rely on him more. We become stronger. We know how to work through that now. And some things we will not get delivered here, but until we get into heaven, right? And be delivered from it all. And it is so, so amazing. And so this is just a roadmap for us. But I will say, Rick Warren says at least, that you're always in one of these phases in your life. You're always in one. You either have your dream, you're making your decision, there's a delay in that. You have those difficulties that come through that might just go all the way to a dead end and you don't know how you're going to continue through it. And then God comes in and delivers you, because if he's the one who said it to be done, it will happen, right? He will make that happen. And so it is amazing to see what God can do through that. And so that's the phases through our life. So use that as a roadmap. And if you're looking at me right now going, Pat, I'm not in any one of those, then you're not dreaming big enough. Then you're not listening to God. And that's, I'm telling you guys, I've never had God go, hey, Pat, this is what you need to do, right? Like, it's never been him just telling me. But what it is when I go to him and when I ask for the directions, when I ask for God, what do I do in my life? He gives me peace and he gives me clarity. I'm very tempted as a human just to go to people who are my peers or my parents or someone who mentoring and asking for advice as well. But you know who I should always go to, who's going to give me ultimate advice, even if everything seems right? It's going to be God. Sometimes even our mentors or even our people around us can give us the wrong advice. So go to God first. Don't go to him when you're having a tough time making a decision. Don't go to him when it's the last resort. Go to him first. Let God work through those people with you, not against God with you. Does that make sense? Like, be partnered with him in that. Don't go, how do I get around this? Because can you get around God's will? You can't. There's just consequences of trying and doing it a different way. And we see that in the Bible time and time again. So if we're trying to be without all of these consequences, without learning all of this from suffering, maybe we can take some of it and just apply it. That maybe we can just trust God has our best interests. And so when we are in times of not knowing what to do, when we're in times that we need to be actively waiting, that we can trust that he is moving in the background. We can trust that he's there. I don't know if you guys deal with this very much here in Texas. I don't think I've had to deal with this as much in this area, a little bit in Dripping Springs. But does anybody have bamboo plants? Anybody? No? They're invasive. You don't want them. Because once they get rooted, they're nuts. They go everywhere. Some bamboos can grow up to, I think it's like 2 feet in a week. Like, that is a ton of growth. But did you know once you plant it, it can take 5 years till you see anything above the surface? That those roots are actively moving and creating this tremendous growth that is about to happen. God is always working, even if we're not seeing it happen. If we're in this waiting game, wait with, gosh, joy. Wait with rejoicing at what God is going to do in your life, but also know that God could be working on you and that you might need to be stepping up what you're doing. You might need to be asking God those hard questions. I don't know if you guys have been advised not to do this, but I've always been told not to pray for patience. Well, guys, I'm flipping the script on you guys. Pray for patience. Pray for it. Pray to God for opportunities to serve others. Pray that God exposes the sin in your life. Oh, that's a tough one, guys. But do it. God doesn't expose all the sin in our life all at the same time, because if he did, we'd be overwhelmed at a dead end and need deliverance right away. And so what he does is he gives it to us slowly so that we can be more like Christ as we work through it. And so because of that, we need to be also praying to expose our sins. There are things that we are doing that we might not think are sins that are missing the mark of perfection that Jesus has for us. Pray for those. That's a scary thing. But as you pray for those, as you ask for his guidance, that conversation gets easier and easier and easier to hear. Not easier to do. I think the longer you have that conversation, the harder it is to do those things. But it's amazing to see how that relationship grows. And so that's really what I think happens, is when we start waiting, sometimes we get rid of that relationship and we're waiting on something to happen. And until then, I'm just going to be here waiting. Well, what we need to be doing is actively waiting. We need to be the people who have the tent, the umbrellas. We've got all of these tools to actively wait for God, because a lot of the times he is going to call us to wait. A lot of the times that's going to happen. Things don't all happen at the exact same time. And one of the biggest things that we can do is we can just remember who he is. If any of my teenagers are here, you'll hear me say this all the time, and I wish I was better at it. Journal, guys, journal. We've got the Bible that gives us amazing stories about people and their life and what Jesus did for them and what God had that they can look back to and that we can look back to be encouraged to continue moving forward in this. But you know how impactful it is in your own life to go, you remember 6 months ago when you were praying for this and you no longer are? Do you remember 2 years ago when you had this and that is no longer a thing for you? Like, it is amazing to see those things in your own life because it gives you that reinforcement, that encouragement to keep moving forward. So if you're not a journaler, I hate it. It's not something I enjoy, but I do enjoy going back to them and being reassured of what God has done in my own life. To be reminded of, oh, you remember what some of my biggest prayers used to be? And it's so cool because right now, I would tell you, one of my biggest prayers for a long time that I waited a long time for was to be a youth pastor. Not only a youth pastor, I wanted to be a youth pastor here in my own church. And it's amazing because I went from high school wanting to do that. I went to college wanting to do that, and it didn't happen. And then I started interning, and it didn't happen. And then I came to this church, started working part-time, and it just didn't happen. I was getting to fulfill working with kids and doing what God had me doing, and it was amazing. But God was working on me. Not saying that, you know, 18, 22-year-olds can't be youth pastors, but I couldn't. I wasn't ready, and slowly and surely, God made me who I was going to be so I could be the youth pastor that I am today. And he's doing that in your life as well. Whatever that is, whatever that dream is, pray for it. But what we get to do today, which is just awesome, I love it, is we get to actually practice a remembrance of Jesus by doing communion. And if you guys don't know what communion is, we're going to be passing out the elements. And it is something that Jesus asked us to do. It's when he was with his disciples, we know it as the Last Supper, and he was just enjoying a meal with some friends, kind of celebrating the Passover. Appreciate it. When he was there enjoying a meal with his friends, he took bread and he said, "This is my body. This will represent my body as it will break." He took the cup and he said, "This wine represents the blood that is pouring out." And I don't know if the disciples really understood what was going on at that time, that they were describing what was going to happen the next day. But it's such a cool opportunity for us now that we get to continue to look back at what Jesus did for us on that day when he died on the cross for our sins to give us a way to live eternally with him. It's so cool that we get to look at that. But we get to take time not only to look at what Jesus did for us, but what we're doing to him with our sin, with our just everything. And so if you guys would, and it's good for me too, let's take a moment and let's just look at our lives. And if there is anything that you need to give to God, give it to him. Trust him. Trust that he has your best interest, that he is growing you to be more like Jesus. And don't be scared about that because, man, there is an amazing thing that happens when we repent our sins, isn't there? It's amazing what we can do when we just tell God, "Hey, you know it. I don't. I did it wrong. Thank you for the forgiveness. Thank you for setting me new. And let us continue to be more like you. Let me continue to glorify you." And so today, as we are going to do communion, as we are going to take of the bread and wine, I just want us to think of that. On the night when the Lord Jesus was handed over to be killed, he took bread and gave thanks for it. He then broke the bread and said, "This is my body. It is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new agreement that is sealed with the blood of my death. When you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are telling others about the Lord's death until he comes. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity just to be reminded of what you did for us. Thank you so much that you don't only care about the big things like our sin and just living with you, but you care about the little details in our life to even how we are living it. And I just pray that we can be living it to be more like you, that we can be living it to glorify you, to fulfill these dreams that you have given us, to have that peace that you promise us, to just to live in all of those promises. I pray as we are starting our new year that we can just be reminded to keep you at the focus of that year, just to keep you in the front of everything that we're doing, all of our goals, all of our new plans. For the very few that do the New Year's resolutions, I just pray that we can stay strong in those, that we can just stay strong in everything that you have given us, to persevere and just to be with you, that we could finish the race strong. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for letting us look at Abraham's life. I hope that you can go out and be a better waiter. You guys enjoy your Sunday.